Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we've pulled together some really interesting source material. It's all about strategic parenting, coming from guides by Dr. Scott Taransky and Joanne Miller.
Yeah, and we're really on a mission here. We're trying to figure out why some of the, you know, the traditional fixes for behavior, why they just don't seem to work in the long run.
Right. How to get to that deep, lasting change in the family.
That's it. Because most of us, and I think most families, operate on what you could call immediate fixes. A problem pops up, there's a conflict, and the go-to response is just, you know, a surface-level intervention.
Just stop the behavior right
there. Stop it now. But what we're going to dig into today shows that this approach, I mean, as common as it is, it's kind of structurally flawed if your real goal is to raise adults with, you know, genuine character.
And I think we all default to that behavior modification stuff because... Well, it's simple. It feels intuitive. If I want my child to do X, I offer Y. If they do Z, there's a consequence. That reward and punishment system is, it's comfortable. The sources say it's pretty much the dominant way families try to make changes.
And to be fair, it works. At least in the short term. That's why we lean on it so heavily.
Sure.
You know, clean up your room. You can play that new game. Or finish your homework. You get some screen time. The deal is clear. It's immediate. And yeah, it changes the action in that moment.
But, and this is the big but, the sources argue that the whole system has this this crucial weakness built right into it. It appeals to something not so great internally.
It appeals directly to selfishness.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what the contract really is. It's, okay, I'll do what you're demanding.
But only because I'm getting what I want out of it.
Exactly. So you are, without even realizing it, maybe training your child to always look outward for their motivation, to run a cost-benefit analysis on everything.
Hold on, though. If we stop using rewards entirely, isn't that, I mean, where's the motivation then? Society is kind of transactional, right? We all work for a paycheck.
That's a really fair point. The key difference is the why. It's about what becomes the primary driver. If you rely almost entirely on that transactional model, the sources say the long-term result is that your kid starts asking all the wrong questions in life.
What's in it for me?
That's the one. Every single task, every challenge gets filtered through this lens of pure self-interest.
So they just learn to do the absolute bare minimum they need to do to get the prize.
Precisely. And on the flip side, if they do something wrong, they weigh the behavior against the punishment.
And if the punishment is, you know, bearable, or the reward for doing the wrong thing is better,
they might just choose the wrong thing anyway. Because what's in the middle, their actual character, hasn't changed at all. And that's where the parent gets stuck. You get trapped in that vicious cycle the sources talk about.
That cycle where I have to just keep upping the stakes. If $5 worked last week, this week it has to be 10. Or the grounding has to be even bigger to stop the next bad choice.
You're always searching for bigger incentives, scarier threats, just to get basic compliance. The change isn't real, it's just a business deal.
And that leads us right into this idea of a parenting revolution.
It is a revolution, because if what we really want is our kids doing the right thing for the right reasons, I mean, choosing what's right because of some internal compass, not just for a payoff, then we have to focus on something deeper.
So the core idea here is that the behavior, that's just a symptom. It's not the actual problem.
Yes. We can spend all day managing the surface, but if we're only focused on stopping the bad behavior, we completely miss what's going on in the heart of the child.
That's a huge shift in thinking.
It really is. The source material talks about how we're sort of programmed to look at the immediate visible thing. You know, you see the compliance on the outside. And to really drive this home, it brings up this ancient story about choosing a new king. Everyone's looking at the oldest son, who's tall and handsome.
The outward appearance.
The outward appearance. But the lesson learned was, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that idea is the foundation for this whole approach.
Right. So regardless of your background, the main point is that real, lasting change has to come from an internal shift. Our focus has to move from just managing symptoms to actually engaging with their character.
Absolutely. The behavior is just the output. The heart, or, you know, what's inside, that's the input. If you can address the input, the output takes care of itself, and it does so consistently.
Okay, so let's clarify something right away. This heart-based approach, It isn't saying, you know, get rid of all consequences, no more rewards.
No, not at all. That would be impossible. The materials are really clear that consequences and rewards still have a place, but their job changes completely.
Like get repositioned.
Exactly. They become just one piece of a much bigger, more strategic plan, a plan that's actually targeting those deeper issues. So instead of being the engine for change, they're more like navigational tools.
So if the old model is failing, we need a better framework. How do we actually start to visualize this process? And that's where the sources bring in something they call the map mentality.
The map mentality is such a great tool. It stops you from playing that daily game of whack-a-mole with issues. You start to see your child's development like a journey from point A to point B.
Okay, so point A is the problem we're seeing right now.
Yes. Point A is the weakness, the immaturity, that negative trait that just, it worries you. And we spend so much of our energy just trying to get rid of point A. Just stop the whining.
But the strategy is to shift all that focus over to point B.
To the destination.
Yeah.
Point B is the life skill they need, the maturity you want to see, the positive quality you're trying to build. It's all about moving them towards something good, not just away from something bad.
Can you give us a really concrete example? A common point A and its point B.
Sure. Let's take a kid who has a huge tantrum every time they're told no. Point A is obvious. They can't handle disappointment. A parent might focus all their energy on just stopping the tantrum with a timeout.
Which is just the symptom.
It's just the symptom. But with the map mentality, you define the point B destination as, say, emotional regulation, or maybe respectful acceptance of disappointment. And now your plan isn't just about the punishment. It's about actively teaching and practicing the skills needed to get from that tantrum all the way to accepting no gracefully.
That changes everything. It reframes what you're doing from just being a reactive cop to being an intentional coach.
Exactly.
But how do we know which point A problems are the most important ones? The ones that really need a whole map?
Well, the sources talk about something called the parental radar. It's that, you know, that nagging feeling you get deep down, that little voice that says, you know, if my kid doesn't change in this specific area, if they're still lying like this or treating their sister this way when they're 18, we're going to have really serious problems.
So that radar helps you identify the critical stuff.
It points you to the point A that needs your strategic focus right now.
Okay, so we've used our radar, we've identified a problem area, now we have to figure out if it's a real issue or just a one-off bad day. And the source gives us this brilliant, really practical way to do this, the rule of three.
And this is such a relief for parents because it means you don't have to solve every single problem every single day.
Right.
So if you see a problem behavior, let's say a child is being disrespectful when you give them an instruction. If it happens once, you can probably let it go. Maybe they're tired, hungry, whatever. It could be an accident.
Okay. And if it happens a second time?
Now it's a coincidence. It's on your radar. But you probably don't need to, you know, stop the presses and launch a major intervention.
The third time.
The third time or more. When you see a clear, consistent pattern that is no longer an accident, it's not a coincidence. That repetition signals a tendency.
And the tendency, that's the strategic goldmine, right?
That's it.
It changes the conversation from, you yelled at me at 4 o'clock today, to something like, we need to talk about your tendency to be disrespectful whenever it's time to put your games away.
It focuses your energy like a laser. So instead of reacting to 100 little frustrations, you isolate one tendency, you recognize it as a real point A problem, and then you apply your map mentality to move it toward point B. It lets you dig deeper.
Which brings us to, I think, the most important part of this whole strategy, understanding what's in the middle.
Yes.
The cause.
We have to get past this common idea that other people or situations cause our anger or our child's meltdown. And this is the big aha moment that really shifts things. The sources are so clear on this. External things, you know, traffic, a rude comment, a parent saying no, they are merely triggers.
They don't cause the reaction.
No, they just point to something that is already there in the middle.
And the middle, or the heart, is defined as what's inside. The desires, the emotions, your hopes, your expectations.
Exactly. So if a trigger hits the heart, the behavior that comes out, the yelling, the sulking, the defiance, that is completely determined by what's already inside that emotional core. And this is where the data point is just stunning.
Yeah.
The source suggests that something like 75 or even 80% of the problems young people face today.
80%. That's almost everything.
It is. It's because of these unbridled desires or emotions that are just out of control.
So most of our fights aren't actually about the external thing. They're internal battles against our own poorly managed expectations.
It's when you realize that the problem is internal, the solution suddenly becomes really empowering.
How so?
Well, if the trigger only reveals the impatience or the entitlement that's already inside, then both the parent and the child can gain so much more control. You can actually work on adjusting those things in the middle. You can manage expectations, practice patience, you know, learn to hold life more loosely, as they say.
So, if a teenager gets cut from the basketball team, the trigger is the roster being posted.
Yeah.
But the reaction, the despair or the anger, it isn't caused by the coach. It's caused by the overwhelming disappointment or unfulfilled desire that's in their heart.
Exactly. So the real strategy is to train the heart's content before the next trigger hits. It's why the materials go back to that ancient wisdom, you know, the idea that what comes out of a person, their words, their actions, it all flows from what's already stored inside. We have to work on that internal reservoir if we want the external behavior to ever really change for good.
This has really clarified that huge shift, moving away from just knee-jerk reactions towards something that's focused, intentional. So the takeaway for you listening is really about shifting your perspective. Stop chasing every surface behavior.
Instead, hunt for those deep-seated tendencies. They reveal what character quality needs to be developed.
So we're encouraging you this week to just turn on your parental radar, look for those patterns, those three-time tendencies, and when you spot one, try using that map mentality to find your point A and your point B.
That kind of intentional focus, it's going to conserve your energy and it will lead to much more genuine change in your family.
And as you start to practice this, we want to leave you with one final thought, something that builds on this idea of mapping the course to point B.
Yes. Don't limit your focus only to the negative things you're trying to get rid of.
Oh.
You should also be actively identifying the positive character qualities, the heart qualities that are already there in your child. Maybe you notice they're really thoughtful to a friend, or they have this natural compassion for animals.
Or they're helpful with one specific thing around the house without being asked.
Yeah, right. The strategy for lasting change has to include recognizing that one good quality and then intentionally trying to strengthen it. Actively looking for ways for that to come out this week.
Mm. So focusing on strengthening the good you already see, that thoughtfulness, that compassion, it actually helps pull your child toward point B.
It makes the whole journey much more effective and honestly, much more encouraging for everybody. Go forth, take a look at what's in the middle and map your course for positive change.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.